Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I'm here today with Miss Olivia O'Brien. Welcome to the show, girl.
What camera do I look at?
Whatever you want.
Hey.
You're slaying all the cams right now. Anyway, happy birthday.
Thanks.
I was just told Olivia it's her 24th year, and that was my favorite year ever. Randomly.
I'm scared for it.
I'm excited for
every
you.
Every year, I'm just more scared.
Is this going to go up? It's going to be a great year.
It can only go up, really. Or actually, I'm not going to say that because I don't want to jinx myself.
So how has the holiday season been for you?
Good. It's fine. Honestly, holidays are weird. I think everyone...
They're super weird.
As you grow up, it's like everyone says this. Everyone feels it. Like, oh, obviously it's not going to feel how it did when you were a kid.
Yeah. Lonely.
And it's like also like having divorced parents and just like weird family dynamics. Mm-hmm. It's like deciding where you're going to go, which parent you're going to spend it with. Like,
how do you decide that? Because I go through that too, and it's the weirdest thing because I feel guilt when I'm with one parent and not the other.
Well, I spend like most of my time with my dad because my dad moved to LA with me when I was 16.
Oh, so, he did?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I like did not get along with my mom for a long time, and I'm trying really hard to have a relationship with her now. Mm-hmm. And it's, we're doing better. Okay. So I spent Thanksgiving with her because I was like, we had a long conversation and I was like, okay, I feel like I should give it a shot and try. Mm-hmm. My sister is back home in Napa for a month. So I was like, okay, I'll just go be with them. And I'm with my dad every other day. So I thought he would be like fine with it. But then I found out that his girlfriend, she was making me like a birthday, because my birthday is always around Thanksgiving. Aww. She was making me this really crazy birthday cake with like, she like formed all these little like mushrooms out of like edible Wait, something cute. And like made this like really pretty cake. And my dad, even though I told him that I was going to Napa on November 7th, he texted me like 2 days before Thanksgiving and was like, we have to go to dinner with Michelle because she's making you a cake and she thinks that you hate her. And I was like, oh my God, why didn't you tell her earlier that I wasn't coming? He was like, and by the way, I still haven't told her you're not coming to Thanksgiving. I was like, what is wrong with you, sir?
That's
like,
so cute when someone makes a cake.
No, it was really cute. And we ended up, I had her come to my birthday dinner on Sunday and she brought the cake there and mm-hmm. we had it. And it was like the cutest thing ever. And she's a chef, but she's not a baker. So oh I was like, gosh. Damn, girl, you really slayed that.
You really slayed that cake.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, I don't know. Every year I kind of just decide on the fly what I'm going to do for Thanksgiving and Christmas, honestly, too. Like my grandparents are in Ohio and I...
Okay, so I'm from Indiana.
Oh, shit.
I'm close.
Okay,
Midwest girlies.
So I love going to Ohio for Christmas because...
It's so fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. Everyone, like, we just have a good time. I love my family. They're batshit insane and there's always some drama and some weird stuff always goes down. Like my grandparents' house is like the only house that's I can still like go to that still feels like home
or like relaxing.
I guess it just like reminds me of childhood because everything else is like, you know, my parents got divorced and then we moved into like random,
it's
like,
more nostalgic.
Like, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I like to go there as much as I can, and Christmas is the best time because my cousins are there and my cousins are fucking awesome.
Is this your mom's side?
Yeah, my mom's
okay.
side.
Okay. And then are you close with your sibling?
Yeah, me and my sister like hated each other growing up. Not hated each other, but like
everyone
you
goes
know
through
sisters.
That.
Yeah. And my mom is so convinced that we like still don't like each other. Like she's like, "I just wish you guys would get along." And we're like best friends now. Uh-huh. Like I tell her everything, I talk to her all the time.
Is she older or younger?
She's 2.5 years older than me.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah.
But it's a weird dynamic cuz like I like started life while she was still like in school.
Yeah.
So it was like I felt like I was like weirdly the older sister, but she's such an older sister in the way that like we'll constantly send each other TikToks of like the older sister.
Cute.
She's very stereotypical, like how she acts. But the dynamic we have is like kind of strange sometimes.
Are you taller than her? I feel
no,
like I always see that.
No, she's 6'2".
Oh my God.
She's 6'2", yeah.
That is so tall. Honestly, amazing. I'm jealous. Yeah. I wish I was taller.
Yeah, that's like every time. It's so funny because I use like fun facts about myself. Like I'll use my sister as like when I'm
trying. You're like, she's 6'2". My sister's 6'2".
Like, my sister's 6'2". She's bright blonde, like bright blonde and has never dyed her hair.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
And she, like, we look nothing alike at all. And she lives in Wyoming.
Oh my
gosh. I'm like, I don't really, we're like so opposite.
She's like, literally Miley Stewart and you're Hannah Montana. Wow, that's incredible. Okay, well, I want to play a little game before we get into the fun stuff. We're just going to go through your fast favorites. So I'm going to say something and you can tell me your favorite out of these categories. Okay, so the first favorite category is favorite book.
Either Normal People or Gone Girl or Daisy Jones and the Six.
Okay, I was wondering if you would say Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Taylor Jenkins Reid is my favorite. My favorite authors are Gillian Flynn, Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Okay, and you're one of the girlies that got me reading Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Have you, like, I'm like so obsessed with her. Like, I call it the Taylor Jenkins Reid cinematic universe
because
all of the books all mention all the other characters and all the eras.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So Daisy Jones and the Six is your favorite though out of them?
Yeah, I read it before the show came out.
Yeah.
And so I really like to read a book and then watch
Me
the
too.
Show. Like, because when you're done with the book, you're like, ugh, like I still want to be in this world. Like,
for
sure. Reread it, you know what happens. So getting to like reimmerse yourself in the world and like compare it, like that was my favorite thing. Also with Normal People, Sally Rooney, like that was the best.
What is that about? I've never even heard of that.
They did a limited series, I think, on Hulu. Daisy Edgar Jones and Paul Mescal. It's really, really, really good. It's the best adaptation of a book I've ever seen. But it's it's about these like high school. These kids in Ireland and they like fall in love in high school, but like he's cool and she's not cool. And
okay.
It reminded me a lot of like my high school experience, honestly, a little bit. And it follows them into college and it's like kind of like star-crossed lovers.
Okay,
thing.
I love that.
It's really, really good. You should read the book and then watch the.
Okay. Yeah. What did you think of Daisy Jones and the Six, the show?
I had to completely separate it from the book because I like saw it in my head very differently.
Me too.
The people all looked very different. Everything was very different. But I did enjoy the show, and I really liked the show. I'm, like, obsessed with, like, the 70s.
Yeah.
So I, like, went through a phase. I think people can... Well, I, like, deleted everything on my Instagram, so you can't really, like, look and see what phase. But, like, there were a few months of my life where I was, like, fully dressing like I was in the 70s and, like, really leaning into that. You could tell it was during my phase when I read Daisy Jones and the Six and then was watching the show. Uh-huh.
Well, I feel like you have your own, like, eras tour. Like, you yeah. go into, like, your own eras. Like, that was your 70s era.
Yeah, that was my 70s era, for uh-huh. sure.
What era do you feel like you're in right now?
I don't really know. I was talking with my therapist about how I feel like I've experimented with, like, the way that I look and how I dress and, like, my, like, it's not even an aesthetic, because I feel like I've never been able to, like, I'm not, like, the girly that, like, takes, like, the really aesthetic photos and can, like, I that's just not how I, it's not how I roll. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe I don't have, like, do I not have a sense of self, like, because I'm constantly changing this up, but I feel like I really do have a good yeah. sense of self, and people can, like, I just because I switch it up doesn't mean that's not still me. I don't know. I had this whole conversation with my therapist about it, and she was like, well, you just, like, you don't have to have, like, a thing. You can just do whatever you want at whatever time. I was like, you're so right. So, like, sometimes I still dress like I'm yeah. from the 70s. And
well, I feel like
I just,
you're not afraid to experiment. A lot of people are afraid to take a risk, and from my POV, it feels like you aren't.
Well, you know, I'm afraid of a lot of things, but...
Not afraid to take a fashion risk.
Yeah, I honestly attribute this to my anxiety a little bit. If I see something that I think is cool, I immediately, I'm like, I need that. I need that right now. I need to buy that right now. And I go online and I, like, find the closest thing possible and I'll buy it. Or I'll buy, like, five of them in different colors. And then, like, I will end up, like, not wearing them because I'm like, why did I buy this random thing? I don't know. So I almost have, like, fashion anxiety. Like, I see someone wearing something that's cute and I'm like, I must hop on this right now.
That's
and then
hilarious.
I buy, yeah, it's, yeah. The packages that show up to my house, I'm like, when
when did I order this at 3 a.m.? I do that sometimes. I impulsively shop at 3 a.m.
It's bad.
Anyway, okay. Favorite emoji?
I always use the purple heart, but recently my favorite is the monkey that's like this.
Cute. I thought you were going to say the mushroom.
I like the mushroom, but I don't, like, really use
You're not
it.
Like, hey, mushroom.
Yeah, I'm not like,
hey, girl, miss you, mushroom.
Like, hey, how are you?
Mushroom.
Yeah, like, I love mushrooms. I have a mushroom tattoo. Mm-hmm. My dad, like, anytime my dad finds out that I like something, like, hence him having his girlfriend make the mushroom cake. Anytime my dad finds out that I like something, like, anytime he goes on a trip, like, if he sees something with that thing, he just really holds it. He never lets anything go. So, like. Mm-hmm. I will never live down, like, my love of mushrooms, just through my dad.
Yeah, so cute. Okay, favorite restaurant in LA?
Where I went for my birthday, Giorgio Baldi. It's the best.
Oh, I've never been there.
It was so good.
Where
I
is
spent
that?
So much money. It was, like, it's in Santa Monica, but, like, almost the Palisades, kind of.
Okay.
Like, it's, like,
I think
off
I've heard of
PCH. It's by Shore Bar, if you've ever been to Shore Bar. It's literally right next to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you get there?
The best. So there's the corn agnolotti. It's, like, almost like mini little raviolis with, like, corn and something.
Okay.
The pumpkin sage pasta I think that's a ravioli, actually. I don't know. Everything is so good. The langoustines are incredible. The Dover sole.
Okay.
Out of this world. Everything. Like, Kelsey always orders for me. She's, like, you know, father.
Well,
foods.
She's the food god.
Exactly.
Yeah, literally.
So, and, like, I love going anywhere with her because I don't have to worry. And I'm just like, you order everything because I eat everything. So I'm just like, order whatever.
Yeah.
Because you know. She knows. She orders.
Does she, like, research before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And she also just, like, knows a lot about food. And I feel like she just knows what's going to be good.
No, I would trust her. For sure. Anyway. Okay. Next one is favorite dating app.
I'm only on one.
Oh, you're only on one.
I'm only on Raya.
Have you tried any of the others?
During COVID, I was on me and Drew when we were together. We tried Hinge.
Hinge can be scary sometimes.
But it was, like, during that time of lockdown when I was, like, in my alcoholic era, like, I was so bored that I was, like, at night, I was, like, I'm just gonna have a couple drinks. So I would get drunk. Like, I mean, like, what were you supposed to do during that time? Like, we were rewatching Flavor
of Love.
You're
supposed to download Hinge.
And downloading Hinge and making we were, like, experimenting with weird cocktails. And, like, then we would end up being accidentally drunk. And I would, like, FaceTime Raven from Hinge.
From Hinge?
Yes.
Next question is favorite brand.
Any brand at all or, like, clothing?
Just
or?
Any brand.
Any brand? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Wildflower Cases.
Okay, period. I love Wildflower.
Casa Gamero. I'm like plugging all my friends' like brands. I thought that I was the only one of my friends that was so obsessed with this, but then we had a whole conversation around like Black Friday because I kept getting texts. It's the only company that I'm signed up for fully like text. I purposely signed up for the text notifications. Cozy Earth. Best sheets, best towels. The pajamas are literally the softest thing you'll ever put on your body. The pajamas, I could talk about forever.
Okay.
It's the best.
I've never even heard of
it. Found it from Oprah.
Love Oprah's that girl. Fave.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like, a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in fourth place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 Hard Challenge, but one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
Okay, favorite movie?
I have a list because I always forget. I used to always say Dirty Dancing, but I haven't watched it in a while. And then when I'm like on the fly, when people ask me, I say 10 Things I Hate About You and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Love
they both have 10. So, you know, feels right. Oh, there's this movie, the only movie poster I have in my house. It's called Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. You know the movie Valley of the Dolls with Sharon Tate?
That was no.
Okay. So it was a movie that kind of flopped, honestly, in like the late 60s. And this guy, I think his name is Russ Meyer, he's a director. He made like almost like a parody of it.
Okay.
It was filmed in 1969, came out in 1970. And it's just like the most insane movie I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's like a comedy, drama, murder mystery.
Wow.
All in one. And it's like, just, I didn't realize they had that level of like, I don't know. It's just really It's really nuts, and I'm obsessed with that movie.
And it's called Beyond?
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Beyond
and
the Valley of the
Dolls. And you have to watch the trailer. The trailer is, like, the most insane thing, too. It's just, I don't know how I came across this movie, and I just became obsessed with it. I was like, this is the weirdest, most insane movie ever. And I make, like, a period of a couple months, anytime someone would come over, I would make them watch it with me and just, like, watch their reaction to, like, how weird it was. Burlesque, Promising Young Woman, Gone Girl, I Care a Lot, this movie called The Women from 1939, I think.
Okay.
Which I didn't think I would like a movie from 1939. I'm like, black and white. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
It's so good. It's just about these women that, like, get divorced.
Okay.
And, okay. Which is revolutionary for the time.
Yeah, true. Very
I like
true.
How you asked me about my one favorite movie. I'm
no,
like,
and I'm like, give us the list.
Scream.
Okay. Iconic.
Airplane and Pretty Woman.
Okay. Love Pretty Woman. I have a movie list, too.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm glad I'm not crazy.
Are you a list girl? Do you write down?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Because I forget. Like, mm-hmm. I will be in so many situations. Like, the other, like, I actually was just remembering this because I'm going through a major, like, Radiohead era. Like, all I want to listen to when I get in my car is Radiohead for some reason. I don't know. Like, that sounds like so, like, I just listen to Radiohead. I'm not like other girls. But, like, it's just, like, what my brain wants to hear right now. And so, like, I really like Radiohead. I mm-hmm. have for a long time. And I was at a bar, and this guy told me that his, like, favorite band was Radiohead. And he was like, what's your favorite Radiohead song? And I was like,
yeah, blank.
So I didn't couldn't think of any Radiohead song except for Creep. And I was like, I'm not saying that. So I was like, I stood there for like 30 seconds, and I was like, Karma Police?
Why does that always happen when someone asks you a
so
question
bad.
Like your favorite? You blank.
I always forget
like
my favorite.
Scientific thing, like why we do that.
So that's, I started making lists. I was like,
me too.
My favorites. So if anyone's got any questions, I have a list ready to go. Like,
got
hold
it.
On. Oh, you want to know my favorite something?
Yeah.
Just got to pull
you
it
gotta
up.
Go, you got to go in. Okay, last two. Favorite person to FaceTime?
My friend Mac, who the one that lives in London that I went
okay.
to, because we—that's pretty much our whole friendship at this point. Unless I'm going to visit him, he rarely comes to visit me.
How did you guys meet?
Through Mr. Logan Paul.
Oh,
yeah,
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And then favorite habit in your routine?
My like night routine, my day routine, my morning routine,
whatever. Girl, routine? Like your favorite habit.
I mean, I do have a very intense skincare routine because I used to have really bad acne.
We have incredible skin.
Thank you. I spend a lot of money on it. It's like really embarrassing. I had really bad skin. It was like one of my biggest insecurities for a long time. So I was like, I'm never going back there.
I feel like that is one of the hardest things mm-hmm. ever as far as like insecurity. Like that really hit me, acne.
Yeah. And I have OCD and one of my symptoms, it's way more under control now. But I have dermatillomania. So like if... Like, I'll, like, rip things off of my skin.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, and when I was in, like, middle and high school, I had really bad acne. So I would, like, actually, and my mom's an esthetician. So mm-hmm. she had all these, like, metal, like,
oh,
popping
wow.
tools in the house. So I would, like, rip my skin off with metal tools. And then I had, like, all these scars and this whole
no.
thing.
What do you
so
feel
fun.
Like changed your skin the most or helped it the most?
Getting facials every 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
It's, like, I have to. And just, like, literally, if I don't do my skincare routine, I will get, like, even if I have a small one, like, I had a... Birthday. I got my birthday pimple. I always say that like I get a giant pimple right before any big important thing.
Same.
So it's gone down now, but I went to town on it and it was like it's really swollen on my birthday, but it's going down a little. So I had my birthday pimple and then I slept in my makeup on the night of my birthday on accident
oh.
and I got a little tiny one right here.
It'll do
so
that.
It's
so
just
do you
like,
have a facialist you see consistently?
Yeah, Artisan of Skin, Beverly Hills.
Okay.
So expensive.
That
love
does
you,
sound
though.
Expensive.
Love you guys.
It yeah. does sound expensive.
I've been going there for a few years and it's like the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess my skincare routine is my favorite part
okay.
of my routine.
Yeah. I love a skincare moment
mm-hmm.
for sure. Okay, so obviously your song went crazy when you were 16. Is that mm-hmm. correct? And before that, I'm like, what type of kid were you growing up?
I believed in fairies until I was like way too old to believe in fairies. I thought that, did you ever read Percy Jackson?
No, I did not.
I was obsessed with Percy Jackson and like Greek mythology. And I thought that because in Percy Jackson in sixth grade, someone comes and brings you to Camp Half-Blood and you find out that you're half Greek god.
Oh.
Demigod. Yeah. So I thought that was going to happen to me.
Okay.
And when sixth grade came and passed, I was like, oh, maybe this
maybe
isn't
this
real.
Isn't it.
Maybe it's not real. And I would walk around my yard with a plastic sword pretending to fight off monsters and...
You were really getting after it as a child.
Yeah. I was weird. Me and my sister also dressed up as like Little House on the Prairie. Like we had like bonnets.
You.
I had a very imaginative childhood. I've been writing like songs and like, I used to try to write full novels, but I didn't really have like a storyline. Mm-hmm. So I would write like chapter one and I would like write stuff and then like that was it. Like,
shut up. That's like crazy going. As a kid though.
Yeah. Looking back too, like I found a, like a little journal of like short stories and like poems I wrote when I was like 7 or 8. Uh-huh. I went to Montessori school when I was little before my parents lost all their money and then we couldn't afford it anymore. But I feel like I was really encouraged to be creative there. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's like, that's just like kind of their whole deal, right? And so I had this like little journal that was at my mom's house and I opened it and I read these like little stories I was writing and I was low-key using like literary elements and okay. shit. Like I didn't know what I was doing.
You had a thesis.
I didn't know that I was doing yeah. it, but I'm looking back, I'm like, okay, damn girl. So I was weird, I will say that.
Well, I feel like you were very imaginative, which is something I feel like I lack now as an adult. Like, yeah. I feel like I need to get into that state more.
I always say that, like, my, like, ideal person that I want to be is, like, me when I was, like, 7.
Yeah, healing your inner child.
I was iconic. I did Montessori through second grade from, like, toddlers, which is, like, literally when you're, like, 3, all the way to second grade, and then I had to leave. And went to a Catholic school, skipped third grade, went straight into fourth grade. So I was a year younger than everyone in my class. Mm-hmm. I had spent my whole life at weird Montessori school playing makeup, like make-believe games, like using a stick as a wand and like mm-hmm. running around like a horse. Like, and then I went to this school where everyone's like in uniforms. Mm-hmm. And that did not go over well.
Was it co-ed or
yeah,
all-girl?
Yeah, it was okay. co-ed. And it was horrible.
Did you have any idea what you wanted to be growing up when you were
when I was okay. really little? Yeah, I said that I was going to be a quadruple threat. I was going to be a fashion designer, singer, dancer, and actor.
Okay. The fashion designer in there is really
fashion designer
the fun part.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, fashion designer threat. You know what, you kind of get a little bit of those things in all the stuff you do, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't say I'm a fashion designer, but like I could be, maybe. I don't know if I'd be successful, but I could.
Well, you know, styling.
You could do anything, really.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Oh, anyway, okay, so you were a very creative kid.
Yeah, like ridiculously. And then that just slowly started going away the older I got because I was like, oh, this is weird. People are making fun of me for doing this. Like, this is not cool. And then I wanted so, like, once you hit like end of elementary school, like beginning of middle school, like, age, mm-hmm. at least for me, like all I wanted to do was fit in. And even when I was at Montessori, like I was still like more myself and creative, but like I had this weird obsession with uniforms and lockers and school buses mm-hmm. and like things that I thought were like normal that I saw like on TV and mm-hmm. stuff that kids experience in school, because I never had any of that. Like, we didn't even have grades. Like, they would literally grade us. They would give you your parents like a giant like stack of paper and it's like rhythm 1 through 5. Like, they were, like,
they had their own grading scale.
Like, uh-huh. they literally, I remember, you're not supposed to look at your report card, and I looked, and I saw that I got a, like, 2 or 3 on rhythm, and I was like, what the fuck are you rhythm. Talking about? And then I worked really hard to improve my rhythm.
Yeah. After that. It's hilarious. Like, you're like, look at me now, bitches. Why
are you, now I do rhythm professionally. I wanted to be normal more than anything in the entire world, and I feel like that's what made me suck so bad for most of that time, like from the time I went to Catholic school, so fourth grade through high school, I feel like I just like sucked. I sucked as a person because all I wanted to do was be cool, and I would hide the parts of me that made me interesting and special because I thought that was weird, and I was so afraid of being weird. And looking back, I'm like, yeah, I get why people bullied me. Like, I was just like trying to be normal when I wasn't supposed to be, and so everything that I did was just a little off. Mm-hmm. Like, I would like try to buy the right, like, because, you know, everyone wears the same clothes.
Yes.
Everyone's, like, the same. Like, I would want to buy Uggs, and I would ask my mom for Uggs, and she would get me, like, Emus or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's, like, everything that I did was, like, slightly off. And, like, that doesn't sound like anything that dramatic. But, like, when it happens with every single thing, like, I couldn't have real Vans because they were too expensive, so I had to pay less Vans. And I was, like, so embarrassed about that. This example, I will always remember this for some fucking reason. I went to like summer camp one time, literally the one time I went to sleepaway summer camp, and everyone packed all their stuff in they called them buckets, but it was just like the the
or like the trunks.
It was like just like literally like the plastic containers. Yeah, it was just like and with the lid like you that you store stuff. So everyone packed all their stuff in that, and I like brought a duffel bag, and I was the only person in the entire camp, the entire camp. Everything. No one told me.
Yeah.
No one told me. I brought a fucking camp like a little duffel bag. Only person in the entire camp, and I was like, this is such. At the time, I wasn't thinking this, but now I'm thinking this is such a great metaphor for like how I did everything just a little wrong my whole fucking life.
I feel like in school when you're a kid, those things are way bigger of a deal than when you are like now looking back, you're like, oh, that wasn't a big deal. But in the moment, it is. Yeah.
It's your whole life.
Like, and that's it is a big deal in the moment. And yeah, that is challenging.
Now I'm like, I would love to be different. Yeah, now it's like be more different.
Embrace that.
Yeah, so.
Well, we were talking about the beginning, 24 being my favorite year. What do you feel like has been your favorite year?
None.
Growing up? Zero. If you had to choose one.
Probably like 5.
Okay, your most creative year.
Yeah, no, it was actually it was probably like 7.
7?
7. That's when I started getting into songwriting.
Okay. That's when you started your career.
Like actually, though.
What is your favorite song you've ever written?
I don't have one.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like because I have so many and so like personal to me, they all are my favorites for like different reasons. Mm-hmm. So I like it's like choosing between your favorite children, which I'm sure some parents can do, but I can't.
What is your favorite song to listen to that's obviously not your own?
That's an impossible question. I like don't have like one favorite song, I don't think. It changes all the time. My go-to song that, like, if I have to sing, this would happen a lot when I was in Nashville for a month. Like, there's live bands playing everywhere.
I love Nashville.
So, I love Nashville, too. So I would go somewhere, and then my friends would, like, be like, she's a singer. Can she do a song? And, like, so if something like that happens where I'm, like, forced to sing a song, I always do Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. It's the only song that I know every single word and everything, like, perfect. Or Valerie by Amy Winehouse.
Oh, those are both great. Everyone else knows the words to those, too.
Exactly. So I'm just going to say those two.
Yeah, those are great. I love it.
For scientific reasons.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about your songwriting process. Is that your favorite part of your job, songwriting?
Yeah, just writing in general.
Writing. Okay. What is your approach when it comes to writing a song? Like, is it, I want to know the nitty gritty. Is it like randomly you hear a word and you're like, I want to incorporate that, or you went through something, or I guess how does it look?
Everyone's songwriting process is really different, and right now I'm kind of transitioning into becoming just a writer, so I've been like working with other artists and writing for them, or like with them but for them instead of for me. Like if you're in a session for another artist, like I feel like they kind of have to lead the way, versus when I'm in a session and it's me and like a writer, I lead the way.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting kind of seeing
how everyone works.
And I mean, I've already seen like how different writers work, but it's just like there's a whole new dynamic when with artists. If it's for me, it's just like I have something I'm going through and something I want to say, and like it's really hard to plan when to be creative. Like,
totally.
I think that's the hardest part. Like, I'll have a session booked and I'm like, oh shit, I don't want to do this. Like, I have nothing to say today. I don't.
Well, like, aren't you paying for a session?
No.
Oh, you aren't?
No.
Is that something on label?
Yeah, so when I was with my label, like sometimes they'd have to like book studio time, but like most of the people that I work with like have like my producer has a studio at his house. So I don't have to pay for it's usually like you pay for studio time. Which
How
is crazy.
Much is paying for studio time?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It depends on the studio also. Okay. But it's crazy because basically like songwriters and producers are low key like working for free.
Yeah.
Until like unless the song gets like put out, and in which case you pay the producer fee, whatever that may be, because everyone's different. And then, like, songwriters get so fucked. And then they make a certain percentage from whatever. But it's a very weird industry. I still don't understand how everyone gets paid or, like, even makes a living in music, honestly. But my songwriting process is different every time with every person. It's just, like, I usually have to write about something that I know or something that I've gone through or something that's, like, on my mind at the moment. And if I don't have that, then I get really frustrated and I'll be like, I need to leave, and then I leave.
Yeah. I'm like,
not today.
Do you have any stories or moments during a songwriting process that you're like, oh, that was so cool how that came together, or this person led me to come up with this idea type of thing?
Oh, I think this is going to be the next song I'm putting out, but I'm not positive. I worked with this guy, Gabe Simon, mm-hmm. in Nashville, and I think it was the coolest like writing process I've ever seen, because I was there for a month and I was writing 4 days a week.
With people five, or alone?
With people.
Okay.
Yeah, in different sessions with different people. And I was just really burnt out. I was also like in Nashville, like everyone's drinking every single day and partying, and I was just trying to like enjoy the city. And so like I would go out and be out late most of the night. So I was so burnt out. I was so tired.
Well, you've been doing this forever too.
Yeah, that is true. And I went to the session and I was really excited to work with Gabe. Like he did like some like Lana Del Rey, Blue Bannisters, and, like, stuff. Like, wow. Just really cool stuff that I really like. He's really great, like, instrumentalist and everything. Just a cool guy. And I was really, really looking forward to this session. And I was like, fuck, I'm not feeling creative. Like, this is a bad day. Like, mm-hmm. I was, like, nauseous. And just, I was like, fuck, this is not going to go mm-hmm. well. And we started talking. And he was like, okay, you're not having a great time right now. Just, let's just talk. Let's just talk. He asked me like questions about my childhood and how I'm feeling, why I escaped to Nashville for a month, because I was thinking about maybe moving there, and I was like, going through like this.
I could low-key see you moving there.
I went and I tried it and I couldn't.
Really?
I can't be landlocked like that.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I'm a California bitch. Yeah. I just can't do it. And I'm sorry, but tornadoes? No, mm-hmm. I will not be. You will not catch me in a tornado.
Tornadoes.
No. Like I'm okay with earthquakes for some reason. Just like that's my natural disaster. That's my comfort natural disaster.
See, my comfort natural disaster are tornadoes.
That's so. Mm-mm. No.
Comfort natural disaster is hilarious.
Like, I'm okay with that one. I can handle it. Like,
ooh, you had the drills growing up. So yeah. You had the tornado drills.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm good with earthquakes.
Okay.
But so that was like actually one of the main because it always goes right through fucking East Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville. And that's where I would want
to live. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. Anyway, back to my story.
Yeah.
Ah. I was talking and he was just writing down things in a notebook. And I was like so out of my mind. I was just like, I was like, okay, cool. He's writing stuff down. I don't know what this is going to be. And then I was still talking and he starts playing guitar and just like reading. He just wrote down everything that I said about my life and my childhood. Mm-hmm. And he just starts and he was like, let's just sing everything I just wrote down and it turned into the song that like.
And it's not out yet?
No.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy. I can't wait to hear it.
It starts off, the lyric is, I had an existential crisis at 5 in a Jack and Jill bathroom I learned to survive. Because I was telling him that when I was a kid, my first existential crisis, like I vividly remember, like I was 5 years old and I looked down at my hands and I was like, oh my god, like I'm a human being, like I'm a person, and like I had like a, you know, one of those mm-hmm. which is so funny because every like 30-year-old man like does mushrooms one time and is like, no, like I looked in the mirror and I realized like I was a person and we're all just like on this floating rock, and then you're like,
literally,
yeah, like no, I realized that when I was like a young child, and they're like, no, I don't think you understand the complexity of this thought that I had. I'm like, no, I think I fucking do. And I think every girl has thought that already, like, at a young age.
This is very true.
No, it's like too real. And like, yeah. So, anyway, mine happened when I was 5.
Yep, exactly.
And I, like, vividly remember it. And it was in, I shared a Jack and Jill bathroom with my sister when I was in the first house.
Same
at a Jack
and Jill bathroom. Yeah.
Iconic. Loved it. I moved out of that house when I was 6, so I just told him that, and then it turned into the song, and it was all this.
That's cool.
Great. It was the coolest thing ever. I was like, damn, you just wrote it down. It felt like I was just like having therapy, and then we just like made it into a song. Mm-hmm.
When you like have a lyric in mind, are you picturing the beat and like the music to it, or are you kind of letting the producer take charge of that?
It really depends, because sometimes I'll write completely on my own. Uh-huh. Like I'm not like an incredible instrumentalist by any means. Like I can play, like I wrote I Hate You, I Love You on piano, and like I wrote mm-hmm. like I have a song called Almost in Love, like I wrote the guitar for that, but mm-hmm. I didn't like play it in, and like I intermittently go to guitar lessons, like I'm back in them right now.
Oh my gosh,
I'm, like,
amazing.
I can play, I have some demos on my SoundCloud of things that I recorded, and it's me playing guitar, mm-hmm. but it's like I couldn't tell you what I played. Like I'll play it and figure it out, and then like forget what it was. Like, so sometimes I will write something just on guitar or on piano at home, mm-hmm. and then bring it into a session, and then like kind of have a vision and tell them what I want, or like bring in like a reference song, like, oh, I want to make a song that sounds like, has like this slide guitar from this song, or like more of like a jazzy, like some jazzy chords, or like whatever. Like I'll have like, sometimes I'll hear a song and be really inspired by it.
Yeah, you're like, I love the sound of this.
Yeah, I love the tone of this guitar. Mm-hmm. I love the, with maybe let's do like this kind of drums. So, but it's sometimes I'll have nothing and I'm like, let's just figure it out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes producers will have like a full beat made. That's like how when I first started out, that was more so kind of how I worked. Like people would play me like beats that they had and I would just be like, oh, this write one. The and lyrics, then I would write the lyrics, yeah. Now I think it's more of a collaborative effort, because I'm kind of going back to my roots of like how I started, which is I just love organic instruments. Mm-hmm. And like that, I feel like that's kind of all I really listen to now. I love guitar. So like almost everything is guitar. Yeah, I just, we kind of build it up. We'll start with a guitar thing and then add some keys and then add. And just,
I mean,
like,
that is mind fucking boggling to me. Like the putting the lyrics to beats and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Coming up with the music part is just something in my brain I do not have. I was not gifted with that.
Honestly, like, kind of me neither. It's I had to figure that one out. Like, I'm way more of a words person than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, when I was first starting out, like, I had, like, a lot of the writers that I was getting paired with, I was like, please, like, people that are good at melodies. Because, like, my melodies are very simple. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just write words of like whatever I'm feeling. I'll write like poems and shit like that, and then I'll just like try to sing the poem into a song. And sometimes simple melodies are great, because it's like that's what first comes to your mind, so that might be the catchiest thing, and sometimes that's all you need. But sometimes you want a little extra sauce.
Yeah.
People that are good at like harmonies, like I'm not the best at harmonies, so it's nice. Like I like to work with people that are very, very musically inclined, because I don't naturally have that. I'm working on it and I'm starting to get a better grasp on it. And I know what I like now.
Are you the type of person or writer where you're out and about and you hear someone like say a saying or say a word and you're like, I gotta write that down?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you constantly writing shit down in your notes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, always. Every song I've ever written has been in my notes app. So like it's like back to like 2016. So it's all in there.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's a lot that could impress you about the all-new Honda Prologue EV. True, it's got class-leading passenger space and clean, thoughtful design and intuitive technology. But what really sets the Prologue apart from the competition is that it's more than an EV. It's a Honda. Honda, the power of dreams. Visit Honda.com/Prologue to learn more.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
One of my favorite songs of yours is when you sampled Now.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about that process. I guess like the business aspect of it. How do you go about sampling a song as an artist?
So that's technically an interpolation.
Okay. What's the difference?
I think I honestly might even be wrong about this, but
forgive
I'm pretty
me for
sure
not knowing.
No, it's like it's like it might even be like a type of sample technically.
Okay.
But sampling is typically, I think, like When you take like an actual soundbite of the song and you like you can like speed it up or
got it. But, okay.
And you like use that or like you use the beat and then write something else over it. But an interpolation is when you like take something and you like sing it yourself or you like change a little bit. So like I changed the words obviously yeah. and it wasn't like Akon's voice. It yeah. was me.
No way.
Yeah. I know, shocking.
So did you have to buy the rights to that?
So there's like what you make as an artist is different than publishing. Publishing is like what the writers and producers, like that's mm-hmm. the money that you make on the writing side. So basically if you are doing something like that, you just get very little publishing because like technically it was written by or like so I don't know the exact numbers of what we had to give, but all of the writers on that song on Right Now Na 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 are credited as writers on my version, and then they all get their percentage as well.
Got it.
Yeah.
So is he making money from that song of yours?
Probably like a dollar.
Okay. What is like, if you're a singer-songwriter, where do you make the most money or how do you make money?
Great question. It really depends. It depends on like where you're at in your career. Like I know a lot of people that do make a lot of money from touring. I don't. Like when I was touring, it's pretty much like you want to break even and make like a little bit. And then selling merch, I would make like a little bit of profit. But touring was not to make money. It was mainly just to like get yourself out there and like, you know, play shows, meet fans and everything. And what was so shitty about being with a label, and at the time, like I always say that I don't regret signing because my label gave me every connection ever. I was 16. I didn't have the money to book studio time and pay producers. And I didn't have connections. I didn't know anyone except for Nash. Like that was like the only person I'd ever worked with. So I needed to like have people to guide me and help me. I wasn't planning on doing music. I had a song and it accidentally blew up. And I was like, oh, I guess fashion designer, dancer, actor have to be a side quest now. And I do music.
Yeah.
And I was like in high school. I had fully given up on all of my dreams in high school. I was mm-hmm. like, maybe I'll be a lawyer. Maybe I don't know. I was figuring out what I wanted to do.
What was that like, just for a brief moment? What was that like when the song blew up? Were you just like, how did you feel?
Embarrassed.
Really?
Yeah, because everyone in my school was so mean. Like,
about it?
Yeah. Well, I was like, they were already mean. But it went from
so
like,
this is familiar territory.
Yeah. It went from like, oh, who is she posting SoundCloud covers? She thinks she can fucking sing. She's so embarrassing. She's so bad. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this weird girl? And then my song started blowing up. And then it was like, oh, she thinks she's so cool. She thinks she's so cool. She thinks she can move to LA and just forget about where she came from. Like, how are you forgetting about
us?
I'm like, you guys literally made my life so horrible. And
losers.
I would go home from school and cry every day. And now you're like, how dare you forget your roots?
Yeah.
I'm like, the fuck?
By the way, shout out my small business. That's what, how they always are.
The way the music industry works is like because with technology and social media and streaming, everything is changing so fucking fast.
Yeah.
These executives and these companies, these labels, no one can keep up. So people, they think they can predict what's happening. For a moment, there was kind of a formula. Like in 2020, it was like you pay Charli D'Amelio, you pay Addison Rae to dance to your song mm-hmm. and it blows up. And that was like a formula that was genuinely working. And then that stopped working because TikTok changed and that's not what people were doing anymore. And like I remember right before I left my label, the like last thing, one of the last like meetings I had with them was like they hired these people that were like TikTok experts to like send me a spreadsheet of TikToks that I should copy and do. And I'm like, I made Jocelyn blow up on TikTok by myself because I was just bored and I was like, I'm just gonna like make a bunch of stupid videos of me dancing to the song.
Also,
on
I'm so sorry. An old white man is not the type of person
no.
to give you advice on
well,
how to
like,
operate
they
TikTok.
They were like in there. They were like, they weren't that. The TikTok experts weren't that
okay,
old.
The TikTok
but like the
experts.
The people at the label were mostly older.
But
I don't
I'm
know.
Like, do they have a poppin' TikTok?
I don't believe.
The TikTok
I don't believe
experts?
They did. And I'm just like, no, like no shade to them. They seemed nice, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's just like. I feel like I could do this myself.
Yeah,
maybe?
For sure.
I don't know.
Did you have strategy with Jocelyn using
nope.
TikTok? Really?
I've never had a strategy for anything ever in my life.
Oh my gosh, that's
and
crazy.
People are always like, I'm such a goal-oriented. I have never had a goal. I have never had, literally, I've never, I just like do stuff.
Well, okay, you definitely have an eye for things. Or you,
I don't know.
You know, I feel like maybe you're unintentionally really good at branding yourself.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I had dinner one time with Robin, Girl Boss Town.
Oh yeah.
And she was like, I feel like you have such a like specific like brand and like identity, and like it's just you like know who you are, and it's like so clear and like identifiable. And I was like,
it really like, does seem like that. Yeah.
But I think it's just because I am so like, I literally don't like what we were talking about earlier of like when I was caught off guard on BFF's podcast.
Yeah.
I was like I literally don't know how to do anything but be myself. And even if it's not always the same thing, it's always coming from me. So like, I accidentally have created a brand for myself.
Well, that's why it works, because you're staying true to yourself.
Yeah. And like, it's, yeah.
So when you're like coming up with, I guess, the branding or like the photo shoots and like the cover art and music video stuff, or is that mainly you, like the creative behind it, or is that a collaborative thing?
I like to have people to help me with that stuff. Like during my, like my first album was, my creative director was Amber Park. She was absolutely killed it. She had a whole team of people too. So it was like a whole production. And now that I'm independent, it's like, it's different. I think I have a creative director that I've like kind of like, I've hired him kind of, but like we haven't started working on anything yet, because the whole music industry like shuts down from like November through December.
Oh, and really?
Like, starts back up in like the middle of January. Like the holidays are like it's hiatus. Everyone's like, bye. Like I'm not like, you can't get a hold of anyone. Like it's all done. So January, I'll probably start working with him. For that kind of stuff, I have to have someone helping me because it's just not.
I mean, seriously, I'm not just saying this. Your branding and album cover art is like some of my favorite out
of
all. Yes, out of all musicians, just because it's like fucking cool. Like, I feel like it's creative, it's cool, it's not like corny. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I feel sometimes like I'm so like, I feel like
it always impresses me.
I feel
truly.
Like I'm so cringe and corny. Like, I genuinely feel like that.
No,
way
it always impresses me. You're funny too. Like, who came up with the I Should Have Fucked Your Brother cover art?
Me. Well, no.
That was genius.
Was it? Well, so, okay, I have this team that works for me, this agency called Mutuals Agency. They've been helping me a lot since I've gone independent. They have like an in-house like graphic designer. His name is Dom. And like, we'll all send, like, we'll brainstorm ideas. So I don't know if I don't know who first sent the meme, but like it was a collaborative effort, but like, I don't know. I don't want to like take credit and then have Dom be like, that was me. Or, like, but I don't know.
When I tell you my jaw dropped, I was like, this is so fucking funny.
Thank you.
And creative. I feel like you underestimate your creativity a little, maybe.
Well, I'll have a lot of ideas, and then I just have to like have someone help me like,
they're well executed,
bring them
though
to fruition. Like, I will be like, oh, and then like once the brainstorming is going, then I'll be like, oh, and we could do this and we could do that. And it's like, but it's definitely not just me. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah. I set up the camera and then I go and I run and I self-timer and then I edit it.
Yeah.
Like, no.
So for like the Now music video, how involved are you in like, I guess, the directing or like the shot list and like the vision?
Well, that music video is like the most expensive, craziest music video I've ever done.
How much did you spend on it?
Well, I got a brand deal for it. So all the outfits were from ASOS. Like,
okay.
It was all like,
like sponsored by them?
Yeah. So I think it was like 100 something K.
Yeah, that's a fucking lot of money.
But for like the, like, music industry in general, that's like not that expensive. Like, if like really big artists will spend like $1 million on
that's
a video
crazy
or more, and it's like really crazy. But that's the most expensive video I've ever done by far. And I kind of just let, I wrote the like little, the, do you remember the like monologue thing? Like, hi, I'm
yes.
Olivia O'Brien, and you need to, whatever.
That.
Yeah.
Love
so
it.
Like, there were things that I contributed, but like,
you're not like, let's do
I'm,
this. TikTok
I'm not a set builder.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not a set builder. I'm not. You know, there's I had a hand in.
What about
the
styling
vibes
and like the glam and the hair? Are you like, I want it this way, or do you just kind of?
I knew I wanted to do the Christina Aguilera like black,
yeah,
the
cute
black extensions with the blonde, and then I wanted to do the pink, and then we wanted to like, it's just, it's again, it's like a kind of a collaborative thing all the time. Like, there's always someone helping me, and but I'm never like, just do whatever.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What do you think are qualities of a singer-songwriter that make them successful?
Oh my god, I have no idea. Being fucking weird, probably.
Okay.
Honestly, and I think a lot of the most successful people are very different when you meet them than you would expect from seeing them online. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I've noticed, at least. And maybe they do that to, like, kind of protect their peace and protect, like, who they actually are. Which I feel like I wish I did mm-hmm. more. Because the more open and honest you are online, the more open... You open yourself up more for criticism. And because totally. People feel like they know exactly who you are. And, like, I get sad and I'm like, guys, I just want to let you know I'm really sad today. And I just feel like I literally posted that on my fucking story on my second account last night. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't shut the fuck up. And that's my biggest problem. And I feel like a lot of the really successful people don't do that.
Well, I think that's why probably a lot of people also like you, is because you're so open.
But then it's like, that's probably also why a lot of people don't like me. I think it almost makes me, like, controversial in a way.
It just opens up the can of worms for them to comment more on more personal things.
Yeah, and then just to judge me more and be like, oh, damn, this bitch is so mentally ill, goddamn.
Does that have anything to do with why you have archived and or deleted some of your photos?
Yeah.
Or most of your photos, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. I was like, I just... had a moment where I was like, I feel like everything I've ever done is bad and I'm just gonna delete it all. And then
did you archive?
I archived
okay,
it all,
thank
yeah.
God
yeah
me being yes. stressed out for
it's
you
archived.
I'm like, there were some good photos
no,
on there.
It's all archived. I don't know, I just always have it's not even a mental breakdown, or it's like somewhere between a mental breakdown and like an epiphany of like, this is what I need to do, and then I do it and then I'm like, shit, I don't know.
Well, and you have your second account.
Yeah.
Which is that, like, your I'm main like, account now, you feel?
I'm, like, scared to post things on my main account, honestly. It just freaks me out. And, like, I've been, like, losing followers a lot, too. So, like, I just, like, I'm scared that every time I post that people are just going to unfollow me.
Well, so I feel like everyone is. It's
yeah, like Instagram right? is, like, also just kind of, like, not... Like, I don't go on Instagram that much.
I just
like,
watch stories, other stuff. I feel.
Yeah. Like, when I go on Instagram and look at my feed, I'm like... Oh, damn, this person, like, the first post in my feed is from 3 days ago. Like,
it's
why?
It's so weird. Yeah. Are you more of a TikTok girl? Like, viewer?
Yeah, I will spend hours and hours on TikTok.
Who are your
which
favorite
I need to
TikTokers?
Stop. Right now, I will spend so long to scroll. So there's these three guys, Carrington, Chase Keith, and Troy Zarbra. They make the funniest fucking videos in the entire world.
Wait, I need
cackle.
To follow them.
It's just like, they're just like stupid. They're all like 21 or something. And they just like make the dumbest fucking videos. And they're so funny to me. And I just die laughing. So that's probably my like guilty pleasure right now, is I watch all of their videos. And I'm like,
are they comedy based?
Yeah. Okay. They're just like idiots. They're just mm-hmm. like so, it's just like stupid, mindless comedy. But honestly, actually, it's probably really, they're actually probably all really geniuses.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
Okay. I'm going to have to check them out after this.
Watch you like watch it and be like, why the fuck? This is funny. This is so stupid.
People would probably say the same about me. Like, the shit that I like on TikTok, it's like, what is she watching? My new thing is reposting. Anytime yeah. I see something funny, I'm like, repost.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a funny feature.
Yeah. I there's some good things to repost.
I saw in an interview that, or maybe it was TikTok, that you were really inspired by Katy Perry mm-hmm. for some of your recent music. Why?
Going back to how I felt when I was a kid, and like also I briefly mentioned like I love organic instruments, and like that's kind of how I started, was writing just like on piano or guitar. Like all the music I listened to growing up was that. So I went on like this little journey of trying to find music that I listened to when I was a kid that mm-hmm. I really connected with, and kind of trying to emulate that. Like Michelle Branch was like my favorite artist when I was really, really young. So it kind of started with like, oh, I'm going to do like a Michelle Branch vibe. And then I just kept exploring more. And I was like, oh, shit, like one of the boys, Katy Perry, like her first like the 2008 album. So good. So good. I guess it's like pop rock. Like it's just like all guitar. Mm-hmm. It's just the stuff that I want to make.
No, I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
I'm also a big fan of Born with a Broken Heart.
Oh, thank you.
Your vocals went crazy, girl.
Yeah, I can't sing that song live. But
when you say yeah. you can't sing that song live, is that because you're taking a break between each like note, or what exactly does that
it's
mean?
Just really, really hard to sing. So Colin does this thing where he sometimes manipulates me into belting. So mm-hmm. my vocal coach, like she is like, I don't know why you belt in all of your songs. Like you need to just like, because you can sing in your head voice. I can sing softly and it's healthier for me, especially when I'm going, like there's times to belt and there's times to like tone it down. Mm-hmm. Colin loves the way my voice sounds when I'm belting, and the higher and harder and the closer I am to my breaking point, the better it sounds to him.
Oh.
So I'll be like, I literally can't hit that note. And he's like, okay, lay down on the ground, lay down on the floor, sing it while laying on the floor, stand up, now sing it, do that, sing it while smiling. He does like all these like things, and then I'll do it, and because we're doing multiple takes. So like I'll get one really good take, but that's not happening on stage. Like,
yeah, you don't have like 300 takes.
No.
Yeah.
And it's, so it's at the highest point of my voice. I'm belting. So in a show, like I'm singing a bunch of songs and I have to keep my shit together. I have to be able to sing the whole set. Especially like if I was on tour, like
I can't
every
even
single night. So I'm a little worried of, because all the songs I've been making, not all the songs I've been making with him, but like most of them are like me belting.
What's the most challenging thing about singing live?
It's just like scary. It's like, it's scary. It depends, because like there's things that are hard about touring versus like just like playing a random one-off show. Mm-hmm. Or like, for example, like opening for someone is like hard because you have to like win over a crowd, or like playing, like that's also kind of how I feel when I play like college shows or like things that I'm booked for that like people didn't necessarily like pay tickets to see me because they're a fan. Like there's just different vibes to every show. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I don't know. It's scary. But then once you get up there, you kind of like adrenaline takes over or whatever. And you just like, it just happens.
Have you ever forgotten a lyric?
Oh, well, I literally every single show.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I think I've probably maybe done like one or two shows in my entire life that have been like perfect.
When you know how artists like talk in between songs or whatever, is that something that just comes naturally to
you? I thought you were gonna ask if it's planned.
Oh
no, yeah. No, I don't write out like a, I don't write out like a like
script.
What to say. Yeah. Or like when I'm on tour, sometimes I'll, because it's typically the same set list every night, sometimes I'll write like, or I'll get in like a groove, like sometimes on the set, because I'll have a set list in front of me and it'll say like talking break. And I like, once you've done a few shows and you're like in the vibe of it, there's like certain things that I will just like
that come to mind, that, like your bullet points.
Yeah, and they just kind of, it starts becoming second nature to like introduce a song in a certain way. So like that will happen over time, but like if I'm just doing a random show, like I have no fucking idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Well, that's the thing that impresses me the most about Taylor Swift. Did you see Eras?
Like I didn't go. I was so, I know, cuz I played my shows when she was in LA, and then yeah, the like one day that I had off, that she had a show, I like couldn't get tickets because I was too late, because I thought that I wasn't gonna be able to, and it was the whole thing.
Anyway, I'm a Swiftie. Alexi and I always talk about it. We're like obsessed with Taylor Swift. But she, the thing that blows our minds about her is she says basically the same thing almost every show, and I've been to multiple shows, and it feels like it's, she's saying something brand new.
Yeah.
Like it feels so like real and new. I'm like, I literally just saw the show
yesterday.
Why does this feel like a brand new person? And she's just like such a star. It's insane. Are you a fan of her?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to go to Eras Tour so bad.
Yeah.
She's just like, she's like broken every single record in the entire world. Like she's like not a real, like she can't be real. I mean, she's real, but like,
what
she can't
album
be real.
Of hers is your fave?
Ooh, I mean, honestly, probably Fearless. Just like, but I just like grew up on like Fearless, and then like the first one is just like Taylor, it's like self-titled.
Debut,
right?
Yeah. Her debut, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I grew up on that. Like my sister was super, super obsessed. So that was just like everything to me growing up. So I think I just have such a special like connection.
Mm-hmm.
So nostalgia wise, probably those. But I also like really love 1989.
Me too. It's a good one. I want to know, when you're not working on music and stuff, what are you doing during your free time? Like, what are your hobbies?
Sleeping.
Okay. What are you doing when you're not sleeping or working?
I've been recently into bouldering, like indoor rock climbing.
Oh, yeah. Lexi told me that.
Yeah. She's incredible. I'm like,
she's
bad.
Been trying to get me to go.
It's so fun. So I have OCD, and also just like, I just call them the thoughts. Like, I just have
the thoughts
all the time. And unless I'm really, really into something, like, my mom, like, so focused, which is hard for me to do because, like, the thoughts.
Well, it gets you off your phone, too.
It gets you off, yeah. I just need to, like, focus on something. And I realize every time I go rock climbing, afterwards, I'm, every single time, no matter how, like, I already know that I feel this way, but every time afterwards, I'm like, whoever I'm with in the car, I'm like,
That's just like the best thing in the world. I just fucking love rock climbing.
Do you have all the gear?
So I just got a chalk bag.
Okay.
And it's a little monster. And then Drew got me an REI gift card for my birthday so I can go buy shoes. And my sister got me like a bag, like a climbing bag, like a bag just to keep all my stuff in. So I'm getting there. But like, and I don't even do it to be good. I just like, when you're on the fucking wall, even if you're doing the easiest one, like you're on a wall and you're so high up, like
you
if
can't
you
think about anything
you can't
else.
Think about anything else, and it's like a puzzle for your mind because you're like, where do I put my limbs? Mm-hmm. And then also, if you fall, you think you're—I mean, you're not gonna die. You'll be probably fine. Like you land on like a soft mat, but like you could severely hurt yourself.
That's a great workout.
It's a great workout, and you work out weird muscles that you don't even know that you have. Like my forearms, like right here, was like so sore after the first time, but I. Yeah, I just, the thoughts, it's the only time the thoughts go away. And it's also a great, like, community sport to do. Like, it's like,
yeah, you can play with your friends.
And you, like, one person goes and you're like, put your left foot there. Keep your hips closer to the wall. Like, you got this, you got this. And, like, you can bring any amount of people and, like, you can all go to, like, different areas or you can watch each other. Because you're not, like, constantly climbing. Like, you have to take breaks because it's so, like, strenuous. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll do one and then stop. And then, like, Drew will do one and stop. And then Lexi does one. And we're, like, sitting there, we take videos of each other. We're like, yes, girl, you got it.
And are you mainly doing the bouldering, which is without the...
Yeah,
cable
I don't.
Thing,
I,
right?
Yeah, the, I don't do
I'm
the
like.
What
like, is that called? The harness.
It's like you get belayed.
Yes, belayed, yeah. Yeah.
I don't do that. I haven't done that. Like,
you just
since I was a
raw
kid.
Dog the wall.
Yeah, which I thought was gonna be way scarier, but it's not. I kind of like it more because like.
Are you going all the way to the top?
Yeah, but like, it's well, there's impressive. Like, there's some of them you have to go all the way to the top, and you like touch it, and that's the finish. Or like there will be ones that say like finish, and it's like you just have to touch the last
Got
thing.
It.
But it's always pretty high. And there's one part I forget what it's called. Where you go and you climb all the way over and then you have to walk down the stairs on the back.
Oh my God.
You have to
like
pull your body over.
Well, what's crazy are when people actually do that in real life, like in nature. Mm-hmm. They rock
climb. My sister does that. What? She like will like sleep on the fucking mountain.
No, that's insane. On the cliff. They're like rock climbing on actual.
Like, you know, the like little like fucking hammocks and you're like.
Yes. Yeah. What are those called?
I don't know.
It's the between the trees.
No, like on the fucking.
Cliff?
On the cliff. Like you are like when it takes like multiple days.
So LA. We're like on the, on the cliff.
When it takes multiple days to climb up the cliff.
Okay.
You have to sleep on the cliff. So you put
I'm not
like
cut out
a
for that.
No. Hell no. No, that's
Respect
too much.
Respect to your sis though.
That's too much.
That is crazy. Or the ones in the rock climbing gym where they're like slanted.
Oh, so
like
yeah,
you're
I
upside
will
not, down.
That,
basically,
I do not have the back and shoulder strength for that.
It's
like
crazy.
Even the like level ones on the on those walls, if it there's any kind of back slant, like I refuse. Like I'm doing the straight up or like this.
Do you feel like you've gotten stronger?
I actually haven't been in a like couple weeks because I was traveling and everything, and it's so hard for me to get back into the flow of literally anything. Mm-hmm. So my friend Josh called me last night, and I'm like. Going through a weird mental time right now, and I was like telling him about it. He was like, well, I'm forcing you to go climbing tomorrow. So
yeah, you should.
I'm probably gonna go climbing today.
Maybe I'll see you in a couple of climbing times or in
Hell
in, a
yeah.
few, in a few weeks.
I swear
Lexi's
it's so
been trying
fun.
To get me to go.
I swear it's so fun. I never thought that I was gonna be into it, and then I did it, and I was like, wait,
yeah,
this is
you're a climber
so
girl
fun. It's so fun.
Do
and
you...
the place we go is like so cool. They have like a queer climbing night,
oh.
And there's like the everyone that works there is like just so nice and chill, and like people that are rock climbing next to you, like they'll do like one that you couldn't get, and you're like, how did you do that? Like, what's the trick? And they'll like
that's crazy.
There's such a sense of like community, and it's so welcoming. You just feel like everyone is welcome, and just beautiful.
Well, I've been loving pickleball lately.
Everyone is obsessed with pickleball, and
you
I've
should
never
play.
Played.
Okay, I'll text you to come
okay,
sometime.
Absolutely,
it's great because it gets you off your phone, and it's like. You don't have to be professional. It's not. It's great exercise, but you're not like running the whole time. But I've been loving it because it gets me outside of my like orbit of people. I feel like I'm around the same like bubble of people all the time, and I like having different types of conversations. And like, I'm sure you get the same at the rock climbing gym. It's like I don't know you, and we're probably not going to hang out outside of this, but I like this banter we're having.
Yeah, it's like almost a good like social practice.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Olivia, thank you so much for coming on the pod. Yeah. You were lovely, and I'm honored to have gotten the time to interview you.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe we'll see each other rock climbing
Absolutely.
Soon. Is there a new song coming out soon that we can look forward to?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know when exactly it's coming, but yeah. It, like I said, the music industry like shuts down for the holidays. That's like right. It's literally done. So like probably January.
Probably January. And I, we can follow you where?
On everything. It's just Olivia O'Brien. Or some on TikTok, it's Olivia G. O'Brien. I don't
Why
have a
the
Twitter.
G?
My middle name is Gail.
Oh. Yeah. That's a pretty super sexy. That's my grandma's name.
It's your grandma's name?
Gail.
My grandma's name too.
Oh. Grandma sisters. Anyway, yeah, everyone go follow Olivia. And if you're a real one, follow Olivia O'Brien.
Oh, yeah, my second account. Well,
or don't.
It's a special community, so you have to be nice.
If you're a real one,
to be nice. Yeah, you have
to be nice. For the nice people, go follow Olivia O'Brien. And be sure to make someone else's day this week. Peace.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.